The Connecticut State Library is losing more than $1 million in federal funding that has already been allocated. In fact, I was reading this in Hearst Media. The Institute of Museum and Library Services reportedly informed the state library that a $2.2 million federal grant awarded under the Library Services and Technology Act had been terminated as of April 1st. And to talk more about this, we have State Librarian Deborah Shandor here. And Deborah, welcome to the show. First and foremost, can we just identify for people, what is the Connecticut State Library? Because for some who read this article at first, they said, wait, what is this? My school libraries? Are these our town and city libraries? So could you first just identify for people, what is the Connecticut State Library?
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks so much for having me on. Absolutely. This is a question we get frequently. So the Connecticut State Library is an independent, nonpartisan executive branch agency of the state. So we exist to provide a library and other services to residents, to the government, to the municipalities. And we have actually quite a broad reach. We are the official state archives. We are a fully operational government library. So if you want to come in and research laws from the state of Connecticut, if you want to research your family history, you can come in and do that. We also operate the Museum of Connecticut History. We operate the Connecticut Library for Accessible Books, and that's part of what is called the Division of Library Development. So one of our departments is there specifically to enhance the work of local libraries, whether that's your local public library, your school library, or the many other types of libraries that there are in Connecticut. So that's just a little bit of what we do.
And I was reading in this article, Deborah, that Connecticut is among actually 20 states that signed on to a lawsuit filed earlier this month in federal court looking at the loss of this. So is it my understanding, or should I say, am I correct in thinking that every single state has like a state library? I would imagine everybody has this type of entity. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yes, that's okay. Correct. That is absolutely correct. So all 50 states, as well as three territories, all have state libraries. Some of them do as much as we do. Some of them really focus in on that work specifically with other libraries. But yes, there is one in every state.
So it looks like Connecticut wasn't alone in having these grants terminated. Other states also had reported this to the American Library Association. Why were the grants taken away? And what did this money go towards, Deborah, here in Connecticut, at least?
No, that's a really great question. So to date, three states, including Connecticut, so Washington, California, and Connecticut, have been notified that our LSTA fund grants have been terminated. And unfortunately, we haven't even been given a reason for that other than simply this doesn't meet the priorities of the agency and the administration anymore. We know that there are rumors around online, but we have been given no official explanation.
Okay. So Deborah, let's even take it back for a second. The LSTA, also the Library Services and Technology Act, for people who missed that, what did that money go
toward?
We have
a lot of acronyms.
Listen, I understand it. I get it. And I get very familiar with my news story. So I'll use the acronyms a lot of times, but then forget to go back and remind folks of what they mean. So what did this money specifically go to in Connecticut so that people understand without this federal funding what it's going to potentially impact?
Yes. So as you mentioned, it was about $2.1 million that we received every year. So states receive under this program a base grant of $1 million every year. And then based on population, that number goes up. So Connecticut sits at about $2.1 million. And what we use that funding for is to support 13 staff members in our Division of Library Development. And they provide a wide variety of services to other libraries. So that includes professional consulting on a variety of topics. We have collections that we lend out to other libraries, so they don't necessarily have to have everything locally themselves. We provide professional development and training for librarians and other members of staff. We offer programs. We have statewide resource sharing, including a delivery service. We have digital resources like an ebook platform, plus the Library for Accessible Books. So it's quite a variety of programs and services that we provide. So the funding doesn't go directly to libraries in most cases. There may be some re-grants, but typically what that funding does is it supports those statewide services so that every library, every person can benefit from that. So One specific example would be work that we do in the area of summer reading and early literacy. So every local library has a summer reading program. Last year alone, there were nearly 9,000 summer reading programs across the state. More than 200,000 families and teens participated across the state. And thanks to the work of BLD, the Division of Library Development, they had access to professional consultants. They had access to collections that they could borrow for story time. We were able to provide them with reading lists and vetted topics that they could talk about, program ideas, all kinds of things. So one library might not alone be able to do all of those things, but they can come to the state library, come to the Division of Library Development, and get those resources, take them back, and adapt them for their local communities.
The Connecticut State Library losing millions of dollars in federal funding that had already been allocated. And we learned that at the beginning of the month. And we're learning actually a lot about what the Connecticut State Library even is from State Librarian Deborah Shandor. And Deborah, thank you again for being here. I want to ask this question because I do think we have seen at the federal level where things have been cut and then sometimes it gets restored because there's clarity. And again, maybe I'm a little Pollyanna with this, but I'm hoping that there could be clarity with this. So you just outlined before all of the things that the state library does. And my question for you, you know, when you talk about programs, resources, staff, certainly, I'm wondering, because I've talked to libraries in some of the towns and cities that we connect with the most here on WICC. Bridgeport's a standout one for me. I've talked to librarians there, and the things they've had to do to sort of keep libraries, dare I say, not archaic, useful, needed, accessible, if those are words I can use. And I'm wondering, do you believe in your professional opinion that when people see library in general, I'm not even talking about just the Trump administration, I'm talking about in general, do you feel like there's still a misconception that libraries are a thing of the past?
That is such a great question, Melissa. Thank you. I think that there is a lot of that opinion still. I hear it from people frequently. Why do we still need libraries? Everything's online. I don't need a library, so why do we have to support them or put our tax dollars toward them? And I think that libraries are continually evolving. The existence of public libraries as an institution is actually a relatively recent thing. It's only been in the last couple of centuries in our country that we have even seen public libraries. But there have been libraries for many centuries and decades. So libraries are continually evolving to respond to technology changes, to meet the needs of their community in a variety of ways. And so if you go into a library today, like Bridgeport is such a great example of a library system that has integrated itself into its community, is constantly asking for their feedback, for their input. What is it that that community wants and needs from its library? And that might be programs for new immigrants. It might be summer reading for young families, or fighting all kinds of things. And one of the examples actually that Bridgeport is part of is they have been participating in a different grant that the State Library had also received from the Institute of Museum and Library Services for something called a Regional Digital Navigator Program. And what that's doing is it's connecting individual members of the community with an individual who teaches them about how to use and understand technology. I think there's a lot of assumptions about technology, too. People think, oh, I have a smartphone, I have a tablet, I know how to do these things. And what we don't realize is not everybody does have that access or does have that understanding. And so,
right.
You were going to ask a question.
No, because to your point, actually, Deborah, the thing that I worry about, which is where we really saw libraries, I think, become so essential, is during the pandemic, there was this gap where people said, well, wait, I don't have great internet service, or I don't have access to the things you want me to only work on, you know, on computers or on tablets or on smart devices. Mm-hmm. I don't either have the money to pay for those things, or I don't have the access to it. And instead of a bunch of grants or waiting for the money to come through, libraries really filled that void, I think. And whether we're in a pandemic or we're not, I think that those populations still exist. I mean, I don't know if you agree, but I think that's where libraries, I feel like, became incredibly relevant again to the average person, not just in Connecticut, but across the country. And to your point, when we talked to Bridgeport, the reason I highlighted Bridgeport is because they have become so tech savvy. They have really emerged from what used to be a library in the 90s. You walked in and every book is at your fingertips, but that was about it, to really offering way more. And I just don't know if people understand the services that they get, by the way, for free at libraries. I don't know if that concept has been lost and people have even stepped into libraries since they were in first and second grade 30 years ago, even more than that. So that's my concern here. And I'm wondering if, has the state said, hold on, wait a minute, can we advocate and see if we can bring clarity to get that money back?
I think that's, and you make such a great point, that use of technology. I would encourage anybody who hasn't been in the library in a while, go and check out your local library. You will be amazed at the services and resources that are available to you, whether you're there physically or if you're from home or if you're accessing the internet from their parking lot. Any of those things are available. So I think the question about funding, of course, is a big one right now, right? We're all asking, what are we going to do in response to this? And I think it's just, what we're seeing is such a large change happening. We're having to look and see, okay, we don't even know the full extent yet of what these cuts are going to be, not just to us, but to every program in the state. So we are in regular communication with the governor's office, with legislators, both federally and at the state level, with the Office of Policy and Management, and saying, hey, this is what libraries do. This is what's so important. And so we are sharing that information with them. I think they've been very understanding and responsive. But of course, they've got their own bigger questions that they need to be answering. So we're working with them and hopefully we'll be kind of moving forward on a solution to that together.
And I hate to even compound this, Deborah, not to, you know, pile on with this, our state librarian here, but we also are seeing, and I hate to harp on Bridgeport, but I know I just had the interim superintendent on about this, as well as one of the board members for the Board of Education in Bridgeport. But like, they want to cut, you know, librarians from the schools, which a lot of school districts, unfortunately, are sort of grappling with that right now. So now more than ever, we need to have those services at your public libraries in your municipalities, especially if schools are going to start to, unfortunately, not have the staffing or not have the needs covered for their libraries in school. You have to have it at the public, I think, level in your municipality. So an attention on libraries, certainly, and a better understanding of the Connecticut State Library. I want to thank you, Deborah, for what you do and for talking about this here on WICC. We really appreciate it.
No, Melissa, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
And definitely keep me posted. If anything changes, especially at the federal level, I'd love to have you back on the show.
Will do. I appreciate it.
All right. Deborah Shandor again, who is the state librarian for the Connecticut State Library, right here on Melissa in the Morning.